Happy Easter Sunday morning.
Amen.
It is Easter Sunday morning, and amen. We thank God that, amen, Jesus is alive. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning. First of all, Lord, we thank you that we have a place to go. You said in your word that we could come boldly to the throne room of grace. And Father, we could find mercy and grace to help in an hour of need. And we come this morning asking you once again to have mercy upon us. And Father, to just pour your grace, your love, your spirit out upon us to touch these needs and minister this morning. We know that, Lord, you've touched and you've helped. We've asked prayer, and Father, you've answered, you've healed, you've ministered, and we're thankful for that this morning. And Father, we pray again today that you just touch these needs, each and every one that's been mentioned for physical need. Some, Father, salvation, some unspoken request upon our heart. Some, Father, just families bereaved, grieving this morning, Father, because of the cares of this life and the things, well, Lord, you said in your word, we'd be in this world a few days and it'd be full of trouble. And we ask you this morning just to touch, and in the midst of unthinkable sorrow, Father, that you would minister and to help and to touch and to work. I pray in these families and these needs and these lives to just give strength and help, I pray. We thank you for all that you've done for us and ask you to lead us as we go on into this service. And Father, in the days ahead, if you give us the time, help us to be a light. I pray, touch and minister to each and every heart, I pray, and help us, we do pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Over death, triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated.
Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24. I asked Pam a while ago, just before we done choir singing, I said, "What song are you singing this morning so I'll know?" She said, "Gone." I didn't think much of it then, but then when she started singing it, that's going to go real good, what I got to say. Because in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse number 1, it tells us, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God, and we ask you to help us today to be an able minister of the word of God. Speak to our hearts, I pray. Open up our lips that we may speak your word, and Father, our ears and our hearts that we might hear and receive and be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach to you this morning for just a few minutes on seeking life in the graveyard. Seeking life in the graveyard. And here in our text, they came on this, the third day, looking for Jesus in the tomb, bringing the spices, it said, which they had prepared. Now, Jesus was their hope. They had big thoughts and big plans for Jesus. Amen. I mean, they thought, "Boy, this changes everything." And it did, and he did, and it didn't go according as they thought it was going to go. But amen, but it changed the history of the world. Amen. But he was their hope. He was their Messiah, their Savior. But amen, but they watched him die. They watched him die. They also knew and watched when they took and placed him in a tomb. And so here they come very early on this morning to pay their respects, bringing the spices which they had prepared. I would assume, you know, kind of like when we go, we take some flowers to the graveside and we put them on there at different times of the year, and we pay our respects to those that have gone on. But as they came to the tomb, they see two men in shining garments. And these two men ask them a question. And it is around that question on this Easter Sunday morning that I want to preach this morning. And the question was this: Why seek ye the living among the dead? He was gone. He was gone. I mean, he wasn't in the grave. He wasn't in the tomb. But amen, he was gone. Amen. But yet, where did they go to find him? They went to the graveyard. They went looking in the graveyard, and they were asked the question, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" But I thought about that. And I thought about that there's many today that are still seeking life, but they're looking in the graveyard. They're looking for life. You know, Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6 that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Amen, amen. And men are looking for, they're looking for life. Well, they're looking for something that's missing in their lives. They want fulfillment. They're looking for life. But they were asked the question, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And I thought, firstly, I thought about the children of this world. The children of this world. The book of Ephesians tells us, and it gives us a picture here in Ephesians chapter number 2, and it tells us beginning in verse number 1, as Paul spoke to them, he said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You. He's talking to those there in Ephesians. He said, "Ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, you have been quickened, you have been made alive." We'll get back to that point there in just a minute. It says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Now, in the context of these verses, what we see is we actually see dead men walking, spiritually dead. I mean, we meet them every day. I mean, physically, they're fine. Physically, they may be in much better condition and shape than we are, but they're spiritually dead. And Paul says here, as he's talking to those of Ephesians that have believed, he said, "You have been called out and brought out from among those that are dead." They're called in the text that we read, they're called the children of disobedience, the children of wrath. And Paul lets that, "So were you, so were we." Amen. We had our place among the children of this world. What did they do? They walked according to the course of this world, and they were looking for life in the graveyards of life. I mean, and men still are today. They're looking for life. They're looking for that fulfillment in life. And they're looking in the graveyards of life. They're trying to find the fulfillment for those desires of the flesh and of the mind, just as we who have been converted once did. I mean, they're looking. They're looking. And listen, there's a lot of graveyards out there today. Now then, we've got one right here behind the church. I mean, an actual physical graveyard. And, you know, on my way home, I'll pass two or three more just to get from here to my house. Graveyards. And we don't really like having to go to the graveyard and visit the graveyard, because, I mean, we equate that with death. But yet, there are those, the children of this world, sinners, spend their life milling around in the graveyards of this world looking for life. There are some graveyards we can spot, the graveyards of, you know, drugs and alcohol and the addiction, and how that it takes those people, and there's many that have succumbed and those things because of looking in the wrong places. We see the graveyards of sex and carnality. Amen. It is a strong attractant to pull folks away. We recognize those, but you know, there's other graveyards. There's graveyards of possession and amusement. Amen. Men looking for fulfillment in the thing. If I can get more than them, amen, I'll be successful. Amen. If I can just be amused a little bit more, I'll be happy. And all of these things are graveyards. And you could go on and on to whichever graveyard that you want to visit. But the reality is, there's no real life there. There's no real peace there. There's no real joy there.
It happens. It's fleeting. It comes. And but for a moment, amen, it satisfies the desires of this old flesh and of our mind. But it's fleeting. And the next thing you know, we've got to go back to that thing time and time again. And we're trying to find that fulfillment, that thing that promises life, but there is no life. It's just death. Some of those graveyards may look really good. The world props them up. They advertise them as things that, boy, you think, that right there is what I need to make me happy. But really, they're just full of dead men's bones. You know, that's what all graveyards, that's what they're full of dead men's bones. You see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end of those ways are death. Death. I mean, that's not what they're looking for. That's not what the world's looking for, but they're pursuing in the graveyards that are the only bring death. And so the way may seem right, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. The Bible also tells us in Proverbs 1 and 10, he gives warning, and he said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And listen, there's a lot of enticing going on. I mean, buddy, they're enticing on every corner in every way. I'll tell you that some of these graveyards that I mentioned, especially as I watch on TV, the graveyard of sex they use to try to sell everything you can imagine. Because it's enticing. It has promised to fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And so they put that out. But God said in His Word, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Because see, what they're saying is they're trying to tell you and convince you that, boy, we found it. We found the way. We know how to have fun. We know how to enjoy life. But amen, all they have is a graveyard and it's fleeting. See, Moses, he chose to stick with God and with God's people. The Bible says instead of enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. It's fleeting. It can't last. Amen, you found it in the graveyard of sin and amen, and it's going to die and it's going to lead to death. And so those children of this world, amen, they're looking, and in reality, their invitation is they're inviting us to a graveyard of death, to come to that graveyard of death. Then I thought about the parishioners of formalism. Parishioners of formalism. Still today, there's many that seek life in the dead letter of the law, the do's and the don'ts. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, he says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The Spirit giveth life. The effect of it was merely to produce condemnation. The letter. Listen, there wasn't anything wrong with the law. The law was just. It was holy. It was pure. The problem was on our side because we were not. And see, what does the Bible say about salvation by works and by the law? If we're going to be saved by the law, then we must keep how many points of it? Every single one. You can't break not one point, because if you ever break one point, amen, you're guilty. And amen, and the law does not offer a sacrifice. It don't offer anything that make you right. You can't do anything because you're guilty. And so the effect was to produce condemnation, to produce a sense of guilt and of danger, but it did not produce pardon and relief and joy. Romans 3 and 20 says, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. Shall be no flesh justified. Yet men they toil in the graveyards of law and of work seeking to justify themselves. The man asked Jesus in Luke chapter 10 verse 29 about who his neighbor was, and it says to us in Luke chapter 10 and verse 29, but he, talking about the man speaking to Jesus, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? All this other stuff I do, I mean, who's my neighbor? Of course, we know Jesus went through and told the story, and then he asked him who was neighbor to him. I've been the one that showed him mercy, the one that showed him compassion. You see, here's the thing about working in works and formalism we can work and do many good deeds in the graveyards of this world, but it's not going to get us to heaven. It just won't. It's not going to make us right with God. They may bury us one day in those graveyards, and we'll be no closer to God than we've ever been. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Amen. It's because of Him. It's because of Jesus. Not because of our works. Not because of our deeds. I've heard it before, but I listened to it again this week. And the man was preaching, and it gave just a little bit of a segment in his preaching. Y'all may have heard it. And it talked about the thief on the cross. And he illustrated it, and he put it this way. He said he showed up at heaven to get in. And an angel asked him, he said, why are you here? The man said, I don't know. He said, wasn't you just cursing with your partner there? Weren't you just yeah. Well, why are you here at the gate trying to get into heaven? He said, I don't know. He said, well, let me ask you a few questions. He said, what do you think about the justification by faith? He said, don't know nothing about it. I don't know. He said, well, where'd you get baptized? I ain't never been baptized. Oh, my. He's having a time. He said, hang on, man, let me run and get my supervising angel. He went and got the supervising angel, and he asked him some more questions. And every question that he asked him, he said, I don't know. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that ain't a very good testimony if you've been saved very long. Amen. But, amen, this fella hadn't been saved very long. He went from the cross to heaven. And finally, supervising angel said, well, listen, he said, why are you here? What makes you think you can come here? He said, because a man on the middle cross said I could come. Amen. Because the man on the middle cross said I can come. That's the only thing. That's the only reason. Listen, thank God. Amen. We might can tell them what the doctrines of justification and amen and all that. We might can give them scripture, quote Bible verses when we get there, and thank God for it and amen. And it'll be glorious if we can. If we can do it now, we can do it then. But make no mistake, there's one reason that we're going to get to heaven, and that's because the man in the middle. That's because Jesus said, amen, we could. Because He died for us, for our sins, and no amount of works, no amount of deeds that we do will get us there. You see, Jesus even said, and He told in Matthew 23 and 27, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye all are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. You see, all of their lives they spent looking for life in the graveyard of works and law and form. Boy, they were religious folks, but they never found Jesus. Their hearts never were made right with God because they couldn't make them right. Amen. And still there are those today that think they can balance the scale. But listen, only Jesus can make us righteous. Only Jesus can make us whole. And there's a lot of graveyards that they look at. Listen, the third thing, the last thing this morning is the redeemed themselves. even church folks, even us sometimes. Paul said this to the Galatians. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You see, the Galatians, many of them struggled with their own freedom. They were free. One reason that they struggled with it is because different ones kept coming by and telling them that, oh, Jesus, he's good, but I tell you what, you need Jesus, but you need this, you need a little something else too. And Paul said there was a danger that they were getting entangled again, coming back to things that had nothing to do but to bring them back into bondage. They were struggling with their freedom. And we struggle sometimes with our freedom. I've talked to folks that knew that they were close to the end of life that, amen, struggled with their freedom, with grace. Amen. Being saved by what? By grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, but it is the gift of God. And it is, according to Scripture, an unspeakable gift. He's given us that gift. But yet, even as Christians, sometimes we slip back into those graveyards thinking, boy, if we'll get around here, we'll do something to make God, amen, God happy, you know. Amen, listen, what we can do, we need to walk in obedience to God. Yes, we do. Listen, all those things that we just talked about, the scribes and the Pharisees that they did, God help us that when we do them with a clean heart for the right reasons. Because even, amen, as church folks, amen, sometimes we can get kind of sideways and do them for the wrong reasons. Amen. And you know what? And I'm fixing to say something right here that I want you to think about it real hard. And I'm not talking bad about not any of us. I'm just talking about all of us. Because if we deal with this old flesh, you know what the reality is about our motives? Very few, as hard as we try, very few of our motives is 100% in the right direction all the time. I mean, we try, and we think they are. You know why that is? It's because we're dealing with this old flesh, because we got this old man. And listen, I'm going to tell you what, I don't know about you, but me and him has it out sometimes. Amen. We know, he knows there's some things, amen, because of what the flesh wants and desires. Sometimes he causes a mess, amen, and it gets even our motives. We get pointed in the right direction, but amen. But I'm here to tell us this morning, amen, there's freedom, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of Christ is, there's liberty. He has made us free. 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 Amen. I've been thinking on that too. Maybe we'll preach about that here for too long. Things in this life, it's free. Free. There ain't many. There ain't many things in life, it's free. You know what? I believe that's why the Galatians, they struggled so much with their freedom. Because see, in reality, we all know that there ain't much that's free. But amen. They were free in Christ Jesus. He's made us free from the law of sin and of death. And you see, they went to the graveyard on that morning very early because they saw Jesus get buried in the tomb. But when they got there, the men, as they looked, and boy, they bowed down, they asked them. They said, why are you seeking the living among the dead? I'm going to tell you something. This morning, if you want to go find Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius or somebody like James Smith, Joseph Smith, excuse me, you can go to a graveyard. You can find them. I mean, you can find where their remains are, but if you're looking for life, if you're looking for abundant life, if you're looking for eternal life, amen, there's only one that you can go to. And amen, His name is Jesus. And He's not in the grave. He's alive. He's gone. while you're seeking the living among the dead. Brooklyn, can you come play me a song? Just play me one song this morning. John chapter 10, verse number 10. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." See, I can see where that would remind us of a graveyard. But Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." God help us not to be looking for life in the graveyard. As we stand this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed. He is the lily of the valley. He's alive this morning. He's risen. He's not there. He's gone. If you're looking for life, for abundant life on this Easter Sunday morning, while we wait just a minute, I pray you come. Yes. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for your blessings, for your goodness and your mercies. And we ask you to bless this day and bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray.